Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
Yeah, God is alive, people. How good is that? He's not dead. He's not even sick, and which is very encouraging to know that God is alive and he's here and he's well. And we're in a series talking about encounters with God, right? And let me tell you, an encounter with God changes utterly everything. We're going to be talking about God, but when you meet God, it's so different to what you had in your mind. I mean, I could tell you what a banana is meant to taste like, but once you taste it, you think, wow, that tasted a whole lot different to the way I thought it would. And meeting Christ and meeting God is so much different to meeting religion. And so as we're traveling through this series, getting ready for the conference in October, it is so important we begin to focus up and get ourselves ready for what God is going to do. I was in Melbourne last week with Dan and Ebony Frecker, who have a C3 church in East Melbourne, which is roaring ahead, going very well. And so as I was praying during the day and just waiting on the Lord for that service, he started speaking to me about our movement, about churches all over the world, where we have now, I think it's 14 regions. So that's 14 conferences a year, which Chris and I are making to about half of them. And we are seeing the power of the Holy Spirit get inside our congregations far more than we've seen for a while. So people are starting to reach out and worship and weeping and finding the power of God touching them in ways that transforms them. While I was waiting on the Lord in Melbourne this last week in my hotel, I got a vision, and I saw sheets of rain coming over our C3 congregations all over the world. And I thought, if anybody is ready, they're going to find that this power is going to come upon them. I'm telling you, the drought of people coming to Christ is over. The drought of people meeting Jesus and rising in ministry is over. The drought on your finances will be over. The drought on your relationships and your families will be over as a great drenching rain starts to fall on the hills and the valleys, on the plains and on the deserts, all over your world. As you start lifting your hands and activating the gift on the inside of you, you will find that this rain falls. That gift that you've got on the inside of you is voice activated. You got to speak the word of God. And as you speak the word of God, the Holy Spirit will begin to fall. The power of God travels on his word. He wrote the book. The Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. And when he sees it in your mouth and hears it, his power moves on that word. Not on the word of man, but on the word of God. And so as we preach scripture and we bring Christ to people's lives, the Holy Ghost is going to touch your world and it will transform you. In Acts 1 verse 8, Jesus said to the disciples, "But you shall receive power." I love that. The word "but," whenever it's in the Bible, I mean, it's like saying you're weak, but you shall receive power. You're discouraged, but you shall receive power. You're finding defeat is happening in parts of your world, but you shall receive power. I got to tell you, I mean, discouragement has no respect to persons. You can be an important person, a non-important, a rich person, a poor person, old person, a young person. Discouragement still comes in through the door and sits at your table sometimes. I mean, this last week when I got that hack and then, it was gone. I mean, all that work. Because we're putting a lot, decent amount of work. We're putting up two videos a day. That's like 40 in a week. And, it's a lot. So I'd sit in a hotel room, do 30 into a camera, then go preaching at night and trying. And you think, let's just throw it away and travel on some other social media platform. But then you think, no, that's what you think, but you shall receive power. And I don't mind a fight, so I think we'll get into this and we'll wrestle and take. We've been taken ground. It's just a pushback by the enemy, and we're going to find ourselves slaying giants that try and oppress us. Building this building, my Lord, the amount of warfare and attacks that we went through for that. You're sitting on seats that have got blood on them. I'm telling you, there was wars fought for this. And in our movement today, like planting churches and buying buildings, every one of our pastors are in a fight. And so pick up the fight in your prayer life and just speak the word, but you shall receive power. No matter what happens to you, there is power available for you to be an overcomer in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead. I tell you, in Psalms, there is a scripture where it says, David says, I cried out to the Lord and he answered me. But the answer wasn't like he was thinking. Because we cry to the Lord, we got a circumstance. We're like, God, change the circumstance. Some of you are going, God, change my husband. Not change him as in another one, but change, you know. Well, some, you know, like, yeah. And some of you are praying like, God, change my kids. Chris and I decided not to have children. They're not taking it that well. But so that was meant last week, right? Father's Day. The thing is that you and I have got to but God for the power of God to come into our lives and transform everything. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So there's a when moment. And this conference could be very well that when moment, or today, right now. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, power comes with him. And that power is amazing. I recently did a bunch of social media posts, and the one that went viral, basically with 2 million views, it was about you can control your mind. You can control your thoughts. But the way that you do that is not by gritting your teeth together and white knuckling. It's actually by being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because he gives you, I mean, there are some translations, friends, that say, that erroneously have translated be filled with the Spirit and says be controlled by the Spirit. That's not correct. That's not God. He doesn't come to manipulate you or control you. That's the devil. He does that. God comes to fill you with a power for you to control yourself. For you to regain control of an out of control life. Because some of you feel, I'm out of control. I can't stop doing certain stuff. But if you are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, you will find you regain control over your life. You regain an ability to actually determine what's going to happen in your world. With the words of your mouth, you can speak into your circumstances. You can speak to your body. You can speak to your mind and start to say, I am going to get control of my life. I am not out of control. I've got a but God factor happening in my life. And then he says, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon me and you will be witnesses. Okay, so this isn't just about me getting the Holy Ghost so that I can have blessing in my life. So that I can look after me and have a supernatural experience, go, whoa, God touched me. This is so that I'll be effective at sharing Christ with other people. So somehow I'm going to be a witness for Jesus with this power that's on my life. And I have got to let that power flow through me. Otherwise, I just become a stagnant pool going round and round in circles. And if I become that, the Spirit comes in, but then there's no flow through, there's no river. And God says, I want you to be like a river, a channel, a pipeline. So that whether what's coming out of you is giving with finances, what's coming out of you is helping other people, what's coming out of you is blessing, writing notes, fellowshipping, bringing others to church, whatever it is, you're going to find that that river keeps flowing in your life as it flows through you in Jesus' name. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Acts 2:14. This is the power of God on a guy's life. It says, but Peter. Everybody say, but Peter. That needed some attitude. Say, but Peter. Yeah, I like that. Here's a situation where all these guys are getting touched by God and people are mocking them. If you get touched by God, don't expect everybody to love it. Some people will reject you. In the early days of this church, we had some great moves of God, and we were known as the church where people fall over, because everybody would fall over. They come forward, go bump, 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 and some of them didn't want to, you know, but it happened anyway. And so we had a number of preachers who preached against us. He said, you know, and it was in churches reasonably nearby. And so the people in the congregation said, oh, we better go down and find out what's going on. And some of them have never left. They came, Pat Ancliffe and a few of these, I won't talk about all of them. But there was some of the finest people you could ever want. And they thought, well, it's not that ridiculous. There is a power here. And we're hungry for it. We're thirsty for it. We're tired of religion. We're tired of dry old services that have nothing in them, cold and dead. And we're talking here about principles we're meant to live by, but we don't feel the power to do it. We just feel guilty because we fall short all the time. But when you find there's a power available for you to live like Christ wants you to live, you will find that that power comes upon you and causes you to walk in the ways that God has called you to. So it says, but Peter... What's so special about that? Well, just 6 weeks before, he was backslidden, people. He was as backslidden as you can get. He was cursing and denying Jesus. When people said, aren't you one of his followers? He said, not blinkity, blink, blink, blink. I am blinkity, blink, not. And I'm blinkity, don't you blinkity, blink. Ask me again, blinkity, blink. Get away from me. So they thought, whoa, he's a real rough sailor. And that's how he talked. To prove that he wasn't a follower of Jesus. And then we all know the story. And by the morning, when the rooster crowed three times, he realized, I've denied Jesus three times. I've denied Christ. How could I ever have done that? And he wept bitterly. He was wounded. He was traumatized, wounded. He was feeling disappointed in himself, and he knew God would be disappointed. He just couldn't feel any worse. He went back to his old life. He said, I'm going back fishing. I'm giving up this whole thing. He went back. But then on the day of Pentecost, he decided he'd do what Jesus said and he'd go down to the prayer meeting. And he went there every day for 10 days. On the 10th day, the Holy Spirit fell. And who stands up and preaches more boldly than anybody has in the history of the world about Christ and stands with caring less about the opinion of anybody, says, I belong to Jesus Christ, and I'm going to tell you about him. It was Peter. That's how transforming the Holy Spirit is in people's lives. That's how much the power of God transforms any one of us. If we are open to it, we will find ourselves getting changed and transformed into the image of God. 2 Timothy 1, verse 6 and 7, Paul reminds his protege Timothy. He says, I remind you to stir up the gift of God. Every one of us have got this power of the Holy Spirit in us. And if we haven't yet been baptized in the Holy Spirit, make sure you make a moment, whether it's today at the end of this service or come tonight when we're praying for people or in the conference, where you reach out with a hunger and a thirst, say, God, I want this power. It's for you. It's not for just preachers. It's not just for a few special leaders. It's for every single believer who receives Christ. There's a power. And you're going along in your Christian life, you stumble, fall, go backwards, go forward, trying to make it all work. This power is available to you. It's like pushing your car around when you don't realize there's a motor in the thing. And you push and say, this Christian life's so hard. Big, nice, red, shiny Christian life sports car. Woo, everybody is liar. What a great life. It's hard, though. If you get in the driver's seat, what's that? That's called power. It's under your bonnet, amen. And Paul is saying, hey, I remind you, turn it on. Turn on the motor. It's a V8 in there. And you're rumbling on the side. Now put it in gear and put the gas on. You've got power in you, Christian. You've got power in you, believer. You've got a power in you that he says, I remind you to ignite. I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on. For God has not given to us a spirit of fear or power, fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Fear will quench that Holy Ghost power inside you. Fear will shut it down. Anxiety, discouragement, despair, all those D words. It will just quench the spirit in you. So today, make a decision. If I get discouraged, and discouragement comes pretty well every day over something. And what do? You go like this, or you say, I'm coming back. I'm going to just come step right back into that thing. And as soon as you decide to do that, the power is there to overcome. I'm going to change my thinking. The power is there to change your thinking. I'm going to get a better attitude. The power is there for your better attitude. I'm going to be physically stronger. The power is there for you to be physically more energized. If you keep saying, I'm weak, I'm lost, I'm defeated, I'm discouraged, then you just quench the power that's available to you. Paul is saying, acknowledge the Holy Spirit within you, Timothy. Say, I'm full of power by the Holy Spirit. Every day of my life, I say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Every day I would say something that the Holy Ghost has given me. When you do that, you locate truth and great theology in your own mind and in your own heart. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. I would say that pretty well every day of my life. Fear not, for I am with you, says the Lord. I don't want fear to have any part of my mind. And doesn't matter how old, I've been following Jesus for 52 years. Doesn't matter how long you've been following, fear still turns up at the door. Say, could I come in today? No. Discouragement's turning up. I want to come in. No. Despair and dismay. I want to come in and just tell you how despairing life is and how dismayed you should be because your prayers aren't answered. No, you can't come in. My door's not open to you. Jesus is knocking at the door. Can I come? Yes, certainly, Lord. Amen. And he comes in with faith and with strength and with power. He comes in with joy and with life-giving life. And it just depends. It's up to me to make the choice. I mean, I know I just received Jesus 52 years ago, but do I receive him today? I know I got baptized in the Spirit exactly the same day. Am I still going to be baptized today? Am I going to be filled with the Spirit, speaking in tongues, stirring up the gift, fanning into flame, the Holy Ghost that's on the inside of me? And he says, God has given us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Love dies when we're on our own. And so does a sound mind. I mean, people go nuts when they're in the, my Lord, it seems to me like the whole world is going nuts, believing delusions and lies and deception. We need a sound mind in a world that's going nuts, people. We need a sound mind so that we're thinking straight. We've got our heads on the right way, and God can give that to you so that you're walking with a sound, healthy, strong mind. Amen. 1 Timothy 4, verse 14. How long we got? The lights are blinding me, for goodness sake. Amen. We got 27 seconds. It's amazing what I can do in 27 seconds. Keep going. Yeah, let's do that. Let's just keep going all the way tonight. Okay. Here's the thing. 1 Timothy 4, verse 14 says, Lord clock doesn't rule. It did too. Look at that. It's a scripture. Amen. Verse 14, do not neglect the gift that is in you. I mean, like you can read Steps to Success, Management Rules, you know, how to make your company great, how to make sure your family grows up right, how to make your marriage better. And I mean, this is good education. It's great. But don't neglect the power of the Holy Spirit in all of that, because you will find that trying to do all of those things can leave you very dry, finding it very difficult to actually make a success out of life when you're walking by your own rules and by your own flesh and just by education. I believe in all of that. My Lord, we started a school to try and help with that situation, and we have many different educational facilities in our whole movement. But the thing is, we can never do that at the expense of the Holy Spirit or as a substitute for the great third person of the Trinity who has made himself available to you and I so that we could actually walk in power. And that power is available to you and I right here in this place today. I want to take you, actually, I can see that I read the clock wrong. Amen. I've actually got 3 hours left. No, it's saying 11 minutes there. Amen. So I want to take you to getting ready for the power of God, Kaylee. Getting ready. I mean, if he's going to come, who's he going to come to? If I go to a town, what house am I going to go into? Well, the one that welcomes me. Especially the one that might have sent out a message, say, hey, we'd like you to come to our house. I mean, but then there could be houses that say, hey, don't come anywhere near our place. I said, well, I'm not. I go where I'm welcome. God is no different. The Holy Spirit is no different. And you may find that he comes to you in a way that is not the way you wanted it. When the Holy Spirit first started falling in New Zealand in the days when we were born again, we found many traditional Christians from traditional Christian backgrounds would come and they would say, I want the Holy Spirit, but I want it without tongues. I want that. It's like you're going to a restaurant or something, you know. Yeah, I want the sausages, but not with the gravy. Thank you very much. I mean, they thought they could order. I want a dignified baptism in the Holy Spirit. I don't want to be undignified. I don't want to do anything a bit funny, a bit strange, that my friends might think of me in an unusual way. You can't have God on your terms. When he comes, he will be, you will be a little undignified. I can guarantee it. You will find that you will be doing things that you thought you would never do. And if you're open for the Holy Spirit to come, and you say, number one, I'm welcoming you. I'm hungry for you, Lord. I want God. And then number two, you be ready for anything. I remember the story of a woman who got so hungry for God. Her name was Mrs. Bell, Duell. And she was the beginner of the Latter Rain movement in Pentecost. And her son, James Lee Biel, I heard him preach, and he told the story of his mother, how she actually got filled with the Spirit because she just said, I'm so hungry for God. And those are the days when no one knew what the baptism of the Spirit was. And so she just got so hungry for God one night. She got up in the middle of the night, went down to the kitchen, and they had the stoves that you open and you had to light and get it because it was so cold where they were that she had opened the stove and it would keep it warm. So she did that and she knelt down by a chair and said, God, I'm so hungry for you. I want God. I want more of you. Just had this passion for God in the middle of the night, like 2 a.m. And then boom, she said, the glory of God came in the room. And I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And I was speaking in this new language to God. And out of that experience came a whole movement of churches. And she found that what she did, people said, what's happened to you? To her, she said, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. They said, how does it happen? She says, well, at 2 a.m, you have to go down to the kitchen and you open the oven door and you light it. You kneel down on the chair and you say, God, I'm so hungry for you. And she said, it happened every time for all these people. Obviously, they got to know, you know. Well, it wasn't too dissimilar to Chris and I. When I met the Lord, I asked Jesus in my life, they cast demons out, and then came the Holy Spirit. We were doing that on the footpath of Christchurch, New Zealand. We'd say, do you want to receive Jesus? And people were so open, they said, yeah. I said, well, get down on your knees. Okay, we come out of him, you devils. Amen. And be filled with the Holy Spirit. It would happen time and time again. I'm telling you, we are coming into those days. We are coming into those days when you will be bold, you will be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and you'll find yourself moving into a whole new dimension of moving in power, not just moving with words, but moving in the power of God. Let me tell you a story about in the Old Testament, where in 2 Kings 3, verse 9 to 11, it says, the king of Israel went with the king of Judah and the king of Edom, and they marched on a roundabout route for 7 days, and they were trying to defeat the Moabites. There was no water for the army, nor for the animals that followed them. And the king of Israel said, God's called us together to defeat us. It's an interesting thing. They didn't ask God at the beginning about what they should do. But now they're in trouble. They're blaming God for their problems, which is kind of a pretty normal human condition. Man makes plans, and when they go wrong, they rage against God. If you asked him in the first place, then he would guide you in the way you should go. But they didn't, and that went like that. So Jehoshaphat said, Jehoshaphat's a good king. He said, is there no prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire? So one of the servants of the king said, Elisha is here, who poured water on the hands of Elijah. Who you hang out with will affect your destiny. You show me your friends, I can predict your future. Because it causes the future of your life to be shaped by who you are hanging out with today. And he hung out with Elijah, the mightiest prophet of all time. And so these alliances that Jehoshaphat had made were unusual. And we don't even know why he teamed up with these guys, because they were bad kings and he was a good one. And so what happens is Jehoshaphat says, the word of the Lord is with Elisha. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. They went down to talk to him. And Elisha says, I don't even want to talk to you guys. You're such bad kings, but I'll talk to you because of Jehoshaphat. And then 2 Kings 3 verse 15 says, but now bring me a musician. Then it happened when the musician played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. That's the power of music. That's the power of great anointed worship people. They will bring the presence of God into a place so that the gifts of the Spirit start to rise in every single person. And in this prophet, the gift of prophecy arose. So he organized his atmosphere. And you can do that in your home. Organize an atmosphere where God dwells, not anything else. So then the prophet, he said, there's a plan God's given me. Dig ditches. I mean, what a weird thing to do. So the whole army dug ditches in the valley. And he said, because tomorrow, even though you can't hear the sound of rain, this valley is going to be filled with water. This place is going to get filled with water. So they had to make places that were empty to be ready to be filled. And as they dug those ditches in the valley, in the morning, what happened, there was water all through the valley. Josephus, who is a Jewish historian, tells us there was a storm 3 days away. So they were digging holes when a storm was happening. It already happened, and water was coming down that riverbed already. I am telling you, God is coming right now to meet with you at this conference. God is coming to meet with every single one of us, because we are going to a whole new day in the church all around the world. A rain is coming. And we need to get ourselves empty enough to be filled with the Holy Spirit when he turns up. And so what happened in the morning, the water covered that valley and got filled in those ditches. But as the sun rose, it looked like red blood. And all the enemy, the Moabites, they said, these guys have all been killing each other. They've all, 3 kings, they've ended up arguing. So they just ran down in disorderly way. But the 3 kings were ready. And they came out and they destroyed all that army that day. And they plundered all their cities. The thing is, even though they were thirsty for water, and that's all they needed, God's plan was a double-edged sword, because it defeated the enemy at the same time. And you and I are going to find that whatever God brings into our world is always going to have a double-edged sword that backfires on the enemy. Whatever his plans have been, whatever the plans are of this guy with my Instagram thing, whatever the plans are in any of your world, it's going to backfire in the name of Jesus. You will find that the power of God is greater than any force. So what we need to do in our own lives is to get hungry and thirsty for the Lord. Let's all stand as the band comes right now. And I know that as you are hungry and you're thirsty for God to just do it again, whatever he did in your heart and in your life years ago that brought you to this place where you are saying, yes, Lord, I want the power of the Holy Spirit to fall on my life again. I want God to move in my world, move in my heart. And if that's you here today and you're saying, yeah, I want the touch of God, why don't you make your way down on this altar call in these last 5 minutes of this service and say, yeah, that's me. I want God. I'm thirsty for God. I'm thirsty for the Holy Spirit to move. Just come out of your seat and say, yeah, that's me. I want God to move on my life. I want God to move in the church. I want God to move on my family. I'm hungry and I'm thirsty for the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm hungry and I'm thirsty. And just begin to speak in that new language. Begin to speak in that tongue, stirring up the gift that is in you. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father. Shikela barata, sila barata. Tukola baranda, selera bolora baranda. Nigela baranda, shelera boloro de gala baranda. Nikela barata, sila barundo. Orenda, shelera baranda. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the fountainhead of all the New Testament life and the power of God. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, just receive it now. Say, God, I am hungry. Lord, I am thirsty. And let that fall on you. Let it pour down on you. Refresh you, re-energize you. The energy of the Holy Spirit inside you will enable you to be an overcomer in whatever you're facing. Oh, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, oh, Lord God, oh, Lord God. Heavenly Father, let the power of your presence fill every life, change their hearts, change attitudes. Come on, let's reach out to God in these last few moments here today. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.